Next speaker is John Schultz. He'll be presenting on 2016 North Delta Target Spot Epidemic, Observations and Key Learnings.
Thank you, and appreciate being able to be here this afternoon. Hopefully we'll make some of us make it back to Arkansas before what the snow apocalypse they're calling for. Imagine that in Arkansas, right? But just want to share some things that we noticed and observed and learned from what happened in the North Delta this year from our standpoint and what we saw. And this is a very high-level bird's-eye view of kind of what happened this year from our standpoint and what we noticed. And I would think we could all say 2016 was a year of challenges across the board. You know, I was leaving Monroe, Louisiana in March, and water's running across the road, and thousands of acres are underwater. Through the spring, we battled a few of those rain incidents. Then we get into the summer, and here it comes in July, first part of July, we start picking up target spot. And we noticed that we initially had found that, some consultants said they found it in soybeans in the first part, or the end of June in soybeans in northeast Arkansas. And then we're obviously looking very diligently for it in cotton to see if it was showing up, and found it in cotton in the first week of July in northeast Arkansas. And at that point, the weather, it was hot, didn't look like it was really favorable, going to be favorable for conducive disease development based on the weather pattern we were in. But then we all know we got into that rainy pattern that set into much of the Mississippi River Delta in July and August. And as a result from that, we had defoliation from target spot. We had a lot of other diseases that were infiltrated our farms. The defoliation from the target spot, it varied. You could go into fields and might be lucky to find a lesion. And then you went into other fields that were nearly completely defoliated, some that were 60-70%, and there was even reports of a couple from the Boot Hill, Missouri, that were 100% defoliated, with a single bowl not open on that plant. You know, then we get into the fall, and we had growers that had to park their pickers from north to south in order to let that top crop open so we could harvest that top crop. And then the bowl rot issue that we all noticed, it was variable, to say the least. In South Arkansas, there was places that had 80% bowl rots from the August weather pattern that we had. And then you could go up to northeast Arkansas on the Boot Hill and walk down the turn row, and on each side of the turn row, same variety, same thing done on both sides, and the bowl rots would be different on each side of the turn row and how prevalent that incident was. But I think that we've all realized that major part of the triangle that we dealt with this year was the weather conditions that we had. So I just wanted to take a quick look at the July and August weather patterns. This is both from Jonesboro for both these months. And we've got the weather, temperature on the line graph, and then I just took a snapshot of the rain events and the rain amounts that we got off of weather underground, just to kind of have a look at that. And we know when they had that rainy pattern set in July, basically started that 17th, 18th is when it really moved in, and we could tell looking at our temperature graphs, we had above average temperatures from the low and the high standpoint temperatures. And that rainy, cloudy development really sparked that initial blast of target spot blowing up in all of our fields, in cotton and soybeans. So with that 17 days of weather in July, then we go to August. And we thought we may have been out of the woods, but then here we come again around the 12th of August. We had that next rainy spout where we had the wettest August in history, in a lot of places in Arkansas. And in that same time frame, the wet temperature, the low was higher than normal, but the high was lower, and it was very a very close spread there. And I think that it was a cooler condition, but it didn't provide a lot of fluctuation, and I think that really allowed that target spot that had developed from that earlier weather pattern in July to really blow up further at that point. So we had a couple of fields that we looked at a couple of things on this year. This was a field that we did the pop-up field day that was featured in the Delta Farm Press. And these are the yields that came off that field. The non-treated, 1,500 pounds. The one shot of Preaxor 2 weeks after bloom did less than the non-treated control. And then we had a two-week after bloom application followed by a four-week after bloom application on the right, yielding almost 1,600. You know, I think it's important to note that at the first application, we didn't have target spot in that field in the first part of July. But by the time we got to the second application, in that 19th of July time frame, if you'll remember, that's right when that cloudy weather was setting in. So we haven't even gotten to that weather pattern yet, and we already had 30% defoliation in that non-treated control at that point in time. This is kind of a snapshot of the field, and it is what it is. It's a strip field, split field that we put out with the grower, and there's no replication to it. But there's a couple of swags in there and sand blows, and there was a lot of variability in the field. And we worked with Dr. Bill Robertson to try to pick the best places in the field to pick to try to make it the most consistent. And that's the yield data we came up with. You know, earlier in the year, this is where we were looking at consistent parts of the growth patterns on the low end of that field. And the non-treated was just on that low end was really bad. A lot of defoliation, a lot of bolls were just missing completely from that non-treated section, whereas in the treated section we had, the bolls were still hanging on there and the defoliation was not nearly as bad. So we do know that Preaxor is going to help prevent that premature leaf driving boll shed. It may not always result in a positive yield increase though. Then we had a replicated trial that Dr. Andrea Jones did down on the Boot Hill, right on the state line. And in that trial, the main thing we wanted to look at was timing. And we knew that going into there, we had target spot present in that field in 2015. And that's what we knew. So we went in and we did a full replication trial, strip half-mile long rows, and they were 12-row wide plots. And you could see the first bloom application here did not provide any benefit over the non-treated. But when we go to that two-week after bloom application, we hit almost, 75 pounds more. That was a statistically greater increase. Now, with this field, it was very interesting to me because we got this data back, because when I walked out there towards the late season, this was a field that the height was managed very well. You could see the dirt middles down the rows. You could walk, and you had to really look for target spot in those sections. And when you got to the more ranked sections, you could find that target spot present. But I think it goes to show that application timing is critical, as I think we've seen from our previous presenters. And being too early is just as ineffective as being too late. And that's where we've got to make sure that we're timing those applications well. One of the big things in the Boot Hill and Northeast Arkansas area that I've been hearing over time is, this variety is better than that one, and I don't have to spray if I use this variety. Well, these are two fields that were done in the Boot Hill, Missouri, and they were very close to each other, very consistent dirt, and a private consultant actually brought us these at the end of the season. With Delta Pine 1518, a lot of people were saying, we don't have to spray it. It's going to be a better variety for target spot. And then a lot of people are throwing 49, 46 under the bus and saying it's got to be sprayed if you're going to plant it. I think this goes to show that these scales are identical if you'll look. So the increase on both of those was nearly identical from a two-shot program that was a planned approach going into the season. But we can't depend on a certain variety to protect us and us not have to spray because we planted that variety, because we haven't noticed that in the field and the varieties that we have out there. Certainly some can be more tolerant than others, but we don't see any that are being purely resistant. This was a field that we came about late in the season. We had a lot of growers that called us after that July rainfall, and we had all this blowing up on us, and said we want to spray. And we said we don't have a leg to stand on to tell you that you're going to get a benefit from spraying this late. You know, we're nearing cutout, and we don't have any data to say that will be the case. This grower sent us this yield map, and it's kind of hard to see on the screen there. I think it shows up a little better on the computer screen. But he seemed to think that he got a benefit from Sprint making a late application. And, you know, this is, if you'll notice, the application was made August the 3rd, and that was 3 to 4 nodes above white flower. That was really late. And we didn't want him to make it, but he wanted to anyway. I think in some cases we can get a response from a late application and see a benefit, but I don't think that you always will, and I would certainly not promote that to anybody. If you wanted to see a better response, I think being more proactive and having a more sound approach to protect your crop rather than waiting for a rescue application would be the way to do that. So what were some of our key learnings from 2016? I think that several people in the area would say that target spot inoculum is present in pretty much every field in the Delta, and whether that's cotton or soybeans, because it was across every acre this year. So there's some level of inoculum out there. We are not going to see a response on every field that we put a fungicide on. And that's something that we've got to, we know that's the nature of fungicides and applying those. We do know that plant height and canopy closure, along with the growing conditions, are going to play a significant role in that disease development. So how we manage our crop and those plants are going to be key. And we can't control the weather, but what we can control is how that plant is growing to a certain extent. We also know once we've got target spot developing in the field, it is really, really, really hard to stop. And it's a lot harder to be reactive than it is proactive. We do know that some varieties are going to be less susceptible to target spot, but we know that none are truly resistant to it. But at the end of the day, we had a lot of growers that came out with lower than adequate yields to pay their bills, and we can't pay the bills in less than 1,000 acres of Lent cotton. So going into 2017, on high-yield farms where there's target spot inoculum present and they've had it consistently over the last 2 or 3 years, our lead recommendation is going to continue to be a two-shot program on those fields, with a 10 to 14-day after first bloom application being the first one, and then moving to 2 to 3 weeks after that. And one key that a lot of people, I think, miss on applications in general in our whole business is water is the cheapest thing we put in that tank. And 15 gallons of water is what is absolutely necessary for us to make sure that we're getting the coverage we need to control this disease. So some other conditions to consider when thinking about making applications. Do we have canopied cotton, or do we have that short, squatty cotton that you can see the dirt middles all the way through the field? That's a big factor in what that development's going to be like. What's the history of target spot in that field? Because we know that some fields haven't had it in the past, but this year it seemed like most fields ended up with it. What's that weather look like? The temperature, the rain outlook? But if we all knew what the weather was going to do, there wouldn't be a single one of us sitting in this room. Something to chew on a little bit from a holistic farm business perspective. If we treated 1,000 acres of cotton with a two-shot planned approach of Preaxor, you only have to make 200 pounds of Lent extra on 167 acres to start resulting in a positive ROI. So that's something to think about it as we're thinking about our holistic farm management and being able to make sure that we're able to farm again in the future. For future research, what we plan on continuing our on farm replicated strip trials and working with the University of Arkansas and Missouri on those things. Trying to better define those timings and rate recommendations given certain situations, times of infection, weather events, those sort of things, as well as determining if we can use soybeans as an indicator for target spot before we notice that infection in cotton. That's something that we really want to focus on, and university and industry alike see if we can use that as an indicator. With that, I thank you for your time and have 17 seconds for any questions. Yes, sir.
So, I agree with more than 90% of what you presented. Tomorrow morning, Hillary's going to give a presentation on 17 seniors that we've done in the Southeast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We have the same problem as the Mid-South. After all of this, we have guidelines on timing and not really recommendations yet. Bob, I hope I'm not saying anything that you disagree with.
Oh, missed the best presentation of the entire meeting.
I can't believe it.
We actually gave that presentation this afternoon.
Tomorrow morning?
No.
Oh.
They've already listened to it.
I tell you what, people got their lighters out. It was that.
Anyway, the summary of the whole presentation, you know, that I didn't see, which I did see, is this. Since we have preventative fungicides, if we exactly knew one day before a disease came, that would be the time to spray.
Absolutely.
And most of the time, it would work.
Right.
So somehow, we have to understand what a recommendation will be. That it's got to be some kind of a modified IPM type approach.
I agree.
Because you just showed yourself, you can go too early and waste your money.
Right.
We've proven that.
That's right.
I can't believe you gave it this afternoon.
You should have been here. Hey, and I think that y'all ought to lobby. I think y'all ought to lobby to get a step stool up here because I'm having trouble seeing y'all over here.
That's a tall.
Thank you.